Good morning. I'd like to call the Legacy Committee meeting to order, and we have a quorum. A lot of members this morning are coming late for session, including me, myself. I'm sorry, I was late. And some members have bills up in other committees, so there'll be members coming and going as they're able. Vice Chair Hussein, have you had an opportunity to peek at the minutes for February 8th? And if so, would you be willing to move that?
Yes, I'd be like to move that.
Any questions regards to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved for the February 8th. The February 15th, Vice Chair Hussein, would you be willing to move those minutes as well, please?
I would like to move those two.
Thank you. Any questions regards to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hussein. Representative Jordan, welcome. Welcome back to your former committee, and you're missed. I know this was an area of love, and you had conflicts of schedule, but welcome back to your committee. I'll move your bill. I'll move that House File 1281 be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Jordan, go ahead when you're ready and tell us what you're working on.
Well, thank you, Chair Lilly. Representative Hussein, you have the best job in the legislature as being the vice chair of this committee. I do miss this committee quite a bit, but I'm excited to be back here talking about a project that I really love and is really near and dear to my hearts and is really near and dear to the hearts of a lot of Minnesotans, which is the Wilderness Inquiry Canoe Mobile Program. Wilderness Inquiry works to connect people, especially young people, with nature. And House File 1281 specifically funds their Canoe Mobile Program with $525,000 in fiscal year 24 and $625,000 in fiscal year 2025. And so the Canoe Mobile teaches children about nature, science, history, and culture while they actually paddle a really big canoe. Students identify different birds they see, experience the physics of paddling in a current, learn about who lives nearby and how they relate to nature, and actually get hands-on water safety lessons. I'm going to be short because you have a really great bill presentation ahead of you, but I was lucky enough to participate in a canoe mobile program right here in my district in 60A, which, for folks who don't know, is northeast Minneapolis and southeast Como. The Mississippi River runs right between my district. I like climb to it, but I know Chair Lee might fight me on that one. And we went out on the canoe mobile, and so it was a big, large Voyager canoe. And before we got on there, we received a safety lesson. We were fitted properly with our PDFs or PFDs, our personal flotation devices. We were shown how to select a paddle that was appropriately sized, which is a problem that I often have. The people who were on this canoe with me were some young families. There's a couple on a date. There were a few recent college grads. And there were some Wilderness Inquiry guides. And apart from the guides, I was the only person on my canoe who had ever paddled before, let alone paddled in the Mississippi River. And on this trip, we went around a small island that is in my district that is home to a great blue heron rookery. And so while we paddled, we learned about how to paddle safely. We learned that you could paddle in the Mississippi River. It's public land. It belongs to all of us. We all get to paddle here. And we saw lots of birds, especially great blue herons, which are really exciting. They're huge birds, and it was so much fun to hear the kids talk about how big these great blue herons are, how these great blue herons live right in their neighborhood, how they maybe kind of look and probably sound like a dinosaur. Really neat. And so these kids, it was really neat, Mr. Chair. And this was a unique experience that no one apart from me had ever had in our own backyards, in our parks, right here in northeast Minneapolis. And the afterwards, everyone said that they wanted to do it again. And I hope that date turned out well. I hope that these kids grew up and learned that they should paddle, that the river belongs to them. It's a fun way to get outside and learn about what is going on right in their own backyards. They said that they wanted to go to places like the Boundary Waters or continue to paddle right there on the Mississippi River. And they learned how to do that safely. And so with that, I want to turn over testimony to Wilderness Inquiry to really talk about their canoe mobile program. Unfortunately, I don't know that they will be presenting from the Stone Arch Bridge this year. That was maybe my most memorable bill presentation I've ever seen. Was last year, we heard about this project in the middle of a blizzard, and they demonstrated about why, how they talk about the Stone Arch Bridge and the history of Minneapolis, but also the water quality of the river and why there is a dam there, why that bridge exists, how Native Americans, the first Minnesotans, used that and how that was a sacred site. And so without further ado, Mr. Chair, I'd like to invite up testimony.
Thank you, Representative Jordan, and you're spot on about the presentation last session. It was one of the best we had. They really raised the bar. It was literally a blizzard for those that weren't able to be on it, and they were out there and the winds blowing, and it was pretty impressive. So I think we have a teacher from Harding. Ms. Redler, please come on up, everyone. And I'm sorry about that. My star staff had the numbers right in order, and then I goofed it. Okay. So please introduce yourself and go ahead when you're ready with your presentation.
Thank you so much, Representative Jordan, and good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Christine Rettler, and I'm the Senior Manager of Youth Programs at Wilderness Inquiry. I live in Deer River, Minnesota, just northwest of Grand Rapids, and did make the snowy drive down this morning, and I'm so excited to be here today with you in person. Many of you are familiar with Wilderness Inquiry's work and may have even paddled in one of our big canoes or kayaks. Wilderness Inquiry is a 45-year-old Minnesota-based nonprofit organization that connects people to each other and to the outdoors with the goal of supporting the physical, mental, and emotional well-being of our community. Our programs directly engage people of all ages and abilities across the state and around the country. Last year, more than 27,000 people paddled, fished, camped, and explored the outdoors with us. Today, I'm here with my colleagues to share Wilderness Inquiry's proposed legacy project for this biennium and to ask for your partnership and support. Children in the U.S. spend an average of only 4 to 7 minutes a day playing outside and over 7 hours a day in front of a screen. That's just 7 minutes playing outside, but over 7 hours in front of screens in just a single day. This reality, coupled with the more recent challenges of the past 3 years, has been incredibly hard on young people. We've seen more significant learning loss, a loss between peers, and increased mental health challenges in youth. Together, with your support, we have an opportunity to change that. In this project, Wilderness Inquiry seeks to provide inclusive outdoor educational and recreational opportunities for more than 11,000 Minnesotans across the state, from Austin to the Iron Range, and from the Mississippi to the Red River. Our legacy proposal provides a spectrum of experiences, from introductory day trips with youth through canoe mobile, to multi-generational family camping trips, to career pathway programs. The goal is to provide a continuum of supports that empower people to find their own connection to the outdoors at whatever stage of their journey they're in. We've seen again and again the power of the outdoors to bring people together, but we also know that access to the outdoors isn't equitable for everyone. The heart of Wilderness Inquiry's mission is to provide equitable access to outdoor spaces and activities for all Minnesotans. Of youth participants in our programs, 74% receive financial support and more than 50% identify as BIPOC. And on our extended camping trips, 32% of participants identify as a person with a disability. These numbers matter as we seek to promote equity in outdoor access and break down barriers to participation for individuals and communities historically under-resourced and underrepresented in outdoor spaces. I'm joined today by my colleagues Sintag Haas and Riss Leitsky, who will help share how Wilderness Inquiry programs make a difference and just how important our work is to connecting all Minnesotans to our state's rich history, cultural heritage, and outdoor-going traditions. With that, I'll hand it to Mr. Haas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Haas. Welcome. Go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Christine. And hello, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Suntong Haas, and I'm a teacher at Harding High School in St. Paul. I'm also the faculty advisor for Harding's Earth Club. We've partnered with Wilderness Inquiry for the past 7 years to connect youth from the east side of St. Paul to immersive outdoor experiences and adventures that have been truly life-changing. As you may have heard, Harding's been in the news. One of our students was killed in our hallways.
Thank you, sir. Our heart is really with our entire community is really impacted by that situation and loss. And please go ahead and take your time. And
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're facing some incredible challenges as a school community, and it's clear that our students are under a tremendous amount of stress and strain, and teachers do. However, on that incredibly sad day, 18 Harding students and I were in the Boundary Waters with Wilderness Inquiry. For 4 days, we experienced the magic of the Northwoods and had some of the best experiences of our lifetimes. I'll be forever thankful that those 18 students and I were in the Boundary Waters that day instead of Harding. We were so lucky to find ourselves in nature, in a place that was nurturing, healing, and safe. My hope is that these experiences would be available to many more youth at Harding and schools across Minnesota. This is why what Wilderness Inquiry does is so important. Their programs provide opportunities for youth to connect to the natural world, whether close at home at Lake Phelan or further afield in the Boundary Waters. Our state has incredible natural resources and a rich outdoor heritage. But most of my students and many other young people around the state just simply don't have the resources and opportunities to experience the outdoors. Wilderness Inquiry programs change that. They meet our youth where they are. They provide supportive staff, adaptive gear, deliver lessons that go well beyond what I could ever teach in the classroom, and ultimately give young people an opportunity to connect with themselves and others and the outdoors. I know that legacy funding plays a large role in making this work possible. Because of your support, students like the ones I work with at Harding are able to learn, explore, and find healing and connection in the outdoors. I'll leave you with a quote from one of my students from a couple years ago. The beauty of the Mother Nature is beyond what anyone could imagine. This trip inspired and opened my mind about the importance of preserving the outdoors for future generations. I hope you support this project so that more youth and families all across Minnesota can connect to the history, culture, and traditions that make Minnesota outdoors such an incredible place. Thank you, and I'll pass it to my colleague, Riz.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you for what you do with our students in Minnesota.
Thank you.
Coordinator Leitzig, go ahead and say your name or present how you'd like to proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Haas, and thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Riz Leitzke, and my pronouns are they, them, and theirs. I'm the program coordinator at Wilderness Inquiry. I started my career at Wilderness Inquiry as a volunteer in high school, and before I graduated high school, I was an intern here. I went to college for 4 years and returned as the program coordinator. How often do you see someone with a visible disability in the woods publicly? Keep that in mind as I share why Wilderness Inquiry is a unique organization that allows people of all ages, abilities, identities, and backgrounds to explore nature. Wilderness inquiry trips have significantly impacted participants because after the trips, they felt good about themselves, learned new skills, and made connections with others, as well as many others. Examples of how wilderness inquiry makes a difference is with our adaptive gear. With funding support, which is part of why we're here today, and with staff and guides that share similar identities to the groups that we are engaging with. Here's a quote from a participant who went on a deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing affinity trip last summer. Quote, "The reason why I think it's important for Wilderness Inquiry to continue providing deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing trips is because of communication access. It's very difficult for those who can't hear to participate in hearing events. Deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing wilderness inquiry trips allow one to spend time with others who communicate similarly. We all have something in common with not being able to hear and use ASL and use American Sign Language to communicate. Spending time outdoors with others I can communicate with. Reciprocity is one of the important keywords for wilderness inquiry, to learn from other communities how we can better support diverse groups in the outdoors. We work to build connections and networks with diverse communities to continue keeping the outdoor programs accessible for all. As an organization, part of our commitment to equity is that we are learning and developing alongside these communities that we serve. Reciprocity is what allows us to ground ourselves in our fundamental goal, which is that everyone belongs in the outdoors. So I asked before, how often do you see someone with a visible disability in the woods publicly? Part of the goal for this project is to ensure that every one of our participants can see themselves in the outdoors, that they feel that they belong in nature, and that we work together to remove the barriers for the community to access the wilderness. We ask you to join us in this important work on behalf of all Minnesotans. Mr. Chair and members, thank you for your time today. We would be happy to entertain questions at this time.
Thank you, Coordinator Lightsky. Sorry, I'm really bad with names, so my apologies.
That's all right.
Great Lightsky presentation. Thank you all. Is there any member questions for the testifiers today? Representative Pinky.
Thank you, Chair Lilly. Thank you to Representative Jordan for this bill, and to all of our members who came to, community members who came to testify. I just want to echo something that Representative Jordan said, and I think that is captured in some of her enthusiasm, which is that the work that is happening in wilderness inquiry and organizations like it, it's not just about getting people to the woods, but for a lot of communities, it's about letting people have an opportunity to not worry about their day-to-day existence, right? So communities, many communities spend their lives just feeling stressed out, right? And going through the world in a way that occupies societies that aren't really designed to make our lives easier. And I think that I just want to take a second and, like, putting someone in a canoe and putting them into the boundary waters, not only is it introducing them probably for the first time to the environment and the space that they're in, but also to allowing them to just, like, kind of put their shoulders down, right, and not worry about the world and the pressures of the world and the violence of the world. So I'm feeling that very strongly today as well, and I just want to, like, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for giving people an opportunity to do that, not just to enter into natural spaces, which is extremely important and meaningful to my own well-being, but to allow people an opportunity also to escape from things that are very hard. So thank you for being here, and thank you for this work.
Thank you, Representative Finke, and thank you for pointing out what was in the news from yesterday in Minneapolis. And, Representative Hussein.
Representative Jordan, thank you for bringing this bill forward, and thank you for the testifiers. I do have a family members who have participated in this canoe in the past for many years, and it's a life experience for them, and they really enjoy it. I was supposed to be on this last summer, but I'm looking forward to it this summer and try to participate. And I'm really sorry what happened in Hardin High School. I am a St. Paul product, graduated public school. I competed in Hardin High School for basketball and football for many years. And teachers at the society, the pillar of our society, and we appreciate the work you guys are all doing that. And we're really sorry what happened in Hardin High School, and we're still healing throughout the community, and we'll pray for the family. And thank you, Representative Jordan, for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you.
Representative Becker.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. First question I have is the $525,000 for fiscal year 24, and I did not have time to look ahead of time. How does that compare to other prior year's funding? Are we, was there a bump because of inflation, or, I mean?
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Chair and members, the funding in the previous biennium was $400,000 per year.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And then my last question here is, you know, you talk about, which is great, 12,000 Minnesotans have been able to take advantage of this type of this program. The bell curve, where do you see most of those? Is that most of the metro? Are we looking at the seven county folks? Or what type of reach does this program have? Obviously, us in greater Minnesota experience more of the greater part of Minnesota, but how does that 12,000 reach and so forth? If you could address that, please.
That's probably a good question for Ms. Rettler.
Yeah, thank you, Representative. And Mr. Chair and members of the committee, great question. Because Wilderness at Great is based in Minneapolis, or St. Paul now, we do serve more students, more people out of the metro, but every fall and in spring also, as the lakes open up, we do send our big boats to greater Minnesota communities. We're usually in those parts of the states for about 6 weeks throughout a year, and we're always hoping to expand with support like yours, and I can give you those specific numbers as a follow-up after this, if that would be helpful.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Representative.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Great.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Backer, for the question. Last year, we heard from a middle school principal from Rochester, and he talked about the experience his students had at Battle Creek Middle School, paddling and seeing the river that goes right through Rochester. And he talked about the experience that all of his students had gone through that experience and how that made them more aware and want to be scientists and want to do and study environmental work. And they worked and they organized to clean up pollution in Battle Creek, which is the namesake of their middle school. And they talked about this renewed sense of pride in Rochester and the all of the streams that were there. And they talked about wanting to go trout fishing in the Driftless area and spend time in the boundary waters. And that principal talked about how those students also, even in greater Minnesota, had never had the experience of being able to paddle and be on the water. And so that was really compelling testimony. And I do know, I've heard from people all over the state that have really been benefited by Wilderness Inquiry and some of my own constituents who would not have had the opportunity to even visit places in greater Minnesota were it not for Wilderness Inquiry. So I've heard a lot of testimony and a lot of need for this programming in greater Minnesota. And I know Wilderness Inquiry works to make sure that every child has access to this programming.
Representative Backer, was that?
That's it. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Jordan and testifiers for coming by before us today. And Mr. Haas, just want to echo the feeling that we have the whole Harding Community School in our minds over here, too, and just know that we will do our part to support all of you. And I'll just share, you know, as a former co-author of this bill back in 2019, the experience that I had with some of my students from Henry High School We were canoeing down from Hidden Falls Regional Park all the way down to Harriet Islands, and I remember these are some of the students that were working on credit recovery at my local high school. As we were approaching Harriet Islands, I think this is where, you know, Wilderness Inquiry needs to do a better job of educating our young people. One of them has some snacks within their life jacket. And as we were pulling up, a bee was flying around us. And the next thing I knew, one of the students just popped up and was shaking the canoe that I was in. So I actually thought that was going to fall into the Mississippi River. And, but, you know, I think that that just shows that, you know, a lot of our young people, especially here in the Twin Cities, do not really have access to our natural resources like this. And so I really appreciate the work that Wilderness Inquiry do, and, you know, working with our schools to get these students who will not have the opportunity to get out there to actually participate. And I'm really excited for this year's proposal of how you're incorporating families. I think to myself, if I was a young person, how it would have been really meaningful for me to get out there on the river with my parents who, because of their own, you know, experience, you know, trying to cross the Mekong River, fleeing persecution and genocide in Southeast Asia, that I don't know, you know, the kind of experience that they would have, but that was something that I hope that I wish I would have had. And I'm really glad that a lot of families in Minnesota will be able to participate and do that going forward. So, Mr. Chair, really do want to know my strong support for this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lee, and thanks for telling your personal stories. Painting a visual of someone standing in a canoe is just, you could literally feel it like a little more. Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To one of the testifiers, you know, how many times have you seen handicapped or different people in the wilderness? I am a wilderness guide from Ely. I've met many, many Wilderness Inquiry groups in Quetico and the Boundary Waters. And it's something to behold, to watch a person in a wheelchair go across a portage, you know, and it is hard enough to walk. And they give these folks an opportunity. You know, and I'm looking at the dollars, you know, like how much is it? If it's really 5,000 participants and $105, I can promise you there's not an outfitter in Ely that can do anything for $105. It's just not feasible, you know? So, I mean, and one of the testimonies was we have all this adaptive gear, and it is expensive. It's not off-the-shelf stuff. And, you know, again, looking at, this is my first time seeing the budget and seeing, I see you folks every summer in Ely. I see you all the time. I could tell stories, but I'm not going to. We had a couple of your folks park in the park one night, overnight, and it was kind of interesting trying to convince them. It's really not the place to park a car, but you're with Wilderness Inquiry. We'll give you a pass. Have a nice day, you know. So that's when I was mayor. But one of the things, I see you're going to Voyageurs National Park now. And I know permits are sometimes hard, especially the last couple of years, were hard to get in the Boundary Waters. And as someone who uses both, I use Voyageurs National Park also. I think it's a great learning opportunity for everybody that comes up there to teach them the multiple use. I mean, you see the motors, but you see the paddling. And we get along. I mean, there's a lot of paddling in Voyageurs National Park, and it's unlimited horsepower. In the Ely area, we have towboats and some. And I just want to, you know, kind of stress the fact that sometimes using a motor in the wilderness, not because it's convenient for you folks, because if everyone has to paddle, you can go so much further. And I just want to, if you can promote that, help promote that. The law is the law, and it's allowed, so abide by the law, and it works. But I support you guys. It's an endeavor. It's great to see different people in the woods. It's so nice to see, and I'm humbled by the work that you guys do. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. I see Ms. Rivers is out in the crowd, and I was lucky enough to have a visit in my office, and one of the things they talked about is the adaptive canoes, and I don't know if one of you could speak to that, but and they're made in Minnesota, which is, I think, for being a Minnesota State rep, I think is, should I say, a pretty neat story.
Absolutely.
Are you able to say something?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Our canoes are made in Minnesota, and I think it's also a great time to mention the story of someone standing in the canoe. They are made to be especially stable. They're extra wide. They're 24 feet long. These are our big North canoes, formerly known as Voyager canoes, sit 10 people. They are a perfect opportunity to bring people from every walk of life into the boat to experience this incredible waterway we're on together. We can remove seats and use the bottom of the boat if we need to just create more adaptive situations. So there are many, many different opportunities we can do with those specific boats. We have adaptive paddles we bring on every single trip so that we're ready if we need to be. And we always work very closely with the participant who may need that extra support. Our staff are trained for a variety of different supports and to work with different people. So thank you so much for your question.
Thank you, Representative Farr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Representative Jordan, I really appreciate the bill. I like the idea of the classroom being a proud member of the Le Sueur River Dogs, a canoe club in Le Sueur, having canoed over 1,000 miles in the last decade with that group. I can tell you, living on the Minnesota River Valley, you don't have an appreciation for what's down there and what's going on until you're in it. It's a whole different world, and so greatly appreciate that. I say that first. So I don't want the rest of my comments to be misconstrued, but I'm questioning, if I understand it, $400,000 to $525,000, so a 30% increase. So is that going to be more programming, more outreach, or will that be just to sustain what we have? Just wanting to understand what Minnesota gets for those extra dollars.
Ms. Rettler.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Representative. Great question. It is an increase, and what we're doing this project compared to previous years is we're expanding what the program looks like. So we're trying to think of what that day trip experience can build into. So we're funding more multi-day experiences, those immersive camping trips. As Haas mentioned, to the Boundary Waters, legacy funds will help do. Also expanding to working with families. We know that our young people will only be more interested and can only return when we do incorporate the family or that community of support around them. I would be happy to give you more specifics on what that increase looks like, but that's a little bit more on that.
Representative Park.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jordan, thank you for coming today, and very much appreciate the presentation, and hopefully you can get our committee members out on the river soon. Today, I guess, is technically the first day of spring, they say. It doesn't quite feel like it, but in some weird. But anyways, Representative Jordan, final comments, please.
Yep, I'll be brief, Mr. Chair. Members, playing outside is for everyone. The land of 10,000 lakes needs at least 10,000 kids paddling on them, and thank you for your consideration of this bill.
So with that, the bill is laid over. And again, thank you all for your presentation today, and thank you for the good work that you're doing with these funds. It's very much valued by this committee, and I think it's really important to get our youth and all members of our community to have access to our wonderful state. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Representative Olson. On your way up, I'll move that House File 857 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to go on whatever legacy trip you do that involves canoeing.
Welcome, Representative Olson, and we're excited to hear about the aquarium this morning.
Well, thank you, Chair. So as the testifiers get up, yep, you can come on up. I will just say that this is an appropriation for the Great Lakes Aquarium for $250,000 in fiscal years 24 and 25. and I think those on the committee before probably are familiar with some of the awesome work of the Great Lakes Aquarium. And as a parent of a small child, I have taken part in many of the exhibits there that tie our community and our state and our region to the Great Lakes, our water, our history, our culture, our climate change, a whole variety of ways that really that impacts go beyond just taking a look at the fish or whatever is there and really ties us to a fabric of the region and our place and history and time in it. And I think the exhibit that they're going to talk to you about will do an excellent job in continuing that conversation and that work. And so with that, I'll just turn it over to my testifier, Jay Walker here.
All right. Thank you, Representative Olson. And Mr. Walker, go ahead and introduce yourself and go ahead when you're ready, please.
Absolutely. And thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. And thank you, Representative Olson, for support with this bill. My name is Jay Walker. I'm the executive director at the Great Lakes Aquarium, and I'm joined today with Alexis Berkey, who is the director of learning engagement. A quick note, you also hear us referred to as the Lake Superior Center doing business as Great Lakes Aquarium, and may have reference to our Lake Superior Center Authority, which is the state entity put in place to oversee the state's investment in our building and grounds. The Great Lakes Aquarium is a nonprofit organization based in Duluth, Minnesota, that was charged by the legislature with delivering freshwater education. Today, 22 years after we've opened, we are still focused on engaging, inspiring, and encouraging stewardship of water and wildlife. This is an exciting time for us. In the last 10 years, we've seen an increase of over 75% in attendance, and in 2022, we had 200,000 people visit the aquarium and participate in programs. Our educational offerings have expanded to include opportunities for youth, adults of all ages, with preschool classes, camps, field trip options, volunteering and internships, and public engagement. We actively collaborate with partners such as University of Minnesota Duluth, Environmental Protection Agency, Minnesota Sea Grant, MPCA, the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and regional pre-K through 12th grade schools on freshwater and Great Lakes education. We are proven stewards of legacy funds. We have a strong history of bringing science, play, and wildlife and water exploration to the public. Several of our largest projects have benefited from legacy arts and cultural heritage funding. This includes the 2014 Shipwrecks Alive exhibit, which showcases our rich underwater history. We also have our 2016 Unsalted Seas, which focuses on large lakes around the world and features a 9,000-gallon sturgeon touch pool. If you have not touched a 5-foot sturgeon, I highly recommend it and would be happy to invite you all up there to do that. And most recently in 2021, we opened the award-winning H2O Watersheds at Work. Originally allocated for 2019 and 2020, this project timeline was amended due to closures and disruptions related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Splash and Play exhibit encourages people to learn about the wonders of water together. Another note, if you come and enjoy this exhibit, bring a change of clothes. splash is an operative word. Legacy funding enables us to leverage significant resources from community partners. It allows us to tell big and important stories and in accessible and meaningful ways. We are grateful for your past support and for consideration of this project. Today, we are here to talk to you about a new exhibit we are calling Lava to Lakes. Lava to Lakes invites people to reach into the past to engage with animals and the waters of our region's ancient seas. To create this highly interactive and accessible exhibit, Great Lakes Aquarium respectfully requests $250,000 from the Arts and Capital Fund on fiscal years 24 and 25. The remainder of the project will be funded by matching and in-kind support from partners, donors, and the aquarium's operating budget. I'm here today with Mrs. Berkey, who will share more project details.
Thank you, Director Walker. And Ms. Berkey, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Jay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and community members. I am pleased to be here today. We also made a harrowing journey from Duluth this morning, and we're glad to be here safely. In your handout from us, you'll see that there are some concept images, a timeline and budget, and more information about our project. So people have been drawn to the Great Lakes region for time immemorial, for the vast opportunities that the landscape provides. Minnesota's geologic history has shaped our varied ecosystems. Thousands of lakes, both big and small, prairies, bluffs, river valleys, hills, and mountains. You can probably imagine some of those landscapes in your own home district. In fact, The history of life on Earth itself is written in the landscape all around us. Tucked in the Minnesota River Valley near Morton are some of the Earth's oldest rocks. You can find shark teeth fossils in the hills of Calumet and fossilized mats of algae along the Gunflint Trail. Clues of the past are scattered throughout the state. Understanding Earth's systems and how they interact with us today is vital for ensuring a healthy and vibrant Minnesota. Throughout ancient history, there is evidence that modest changes to the Earth's systems have lasting and long-term impacts for life. For example, a billion years ago, microscopic algae introduced oxygen into the Earth's atmosphere for the first time, revolutionizing the way that life could exist. This same algae is responsible for the mineral deposits that make up today's Iron Range, which has made modern life possible. Encouraging conversations about what changes took place throughout history allow people to draw connections and ask questions such as, how would our lives be different if the landscapes changed or shifted, and how do we know what to expect from the future? Similar questions are being asked worldwide and locally by scientists, government officials, and the public. Throughout the new Lava to Lakes Gallery, guests will engage with animals and interactives to explore the connection between land and life. Touch pools are a key component to the 2,500 square foot exhibit gallery. Each touch pool allows guests to reach into the past and interact with animals that represent key moments of change in life throughout history. Interactive experiences in the gallery will be designed for use by all people, with varying access points at touch pools, staff-guided encounters for visitors with low vision, and audio descriptions of the content. Guests will be guided through the gallery in chronological order of events, beginning with area rocks and fossils that showcase ancient life and the impact that it's had on regional resources and culture. Next, the Sea Jelly Gallery immerses guests in some of Earth's oldest life and features a moon jelly touch pool. And then the story of life continues past representative animals of Minnesota's ancient seas. It's highlighted by coral reefs, horseshoe crabs, and a tide pool touch experience. And then, in that moment of time, life gets huge. And so life-size models of a 26-foot armored fish and 5-foot sea scorpions like this, except almost as tall as me, will hang from the ceiling, wowing guests as they approach a shark and ray touch pool. Concept images of the gallery are included in the center of your packet on page 3. While guests explore, interact, and observe, conversations with staff and with one another will support meaningful exchanges, deepening understanding of Earth's systems. When people understand the ancient patterns of our landscape, they are better equipped to address major issues such as climate change, resource management, and human safety. Our approach to these big topics are to make them accessible through hands-on experiences and play. Since the aquarium serves more than 10,000 pre-K through 12th grade students each year, it's important to note that the development of this new gallery considers state and national science standards. The aquarium creates exhibit and field trip guides that are aligned with Minnesota state and next generation science standards to allow educators to enhance their visits. Lava to Lakes is slated to open in spring of 2025. The project budget is $956,600. And you can find a more detailed timeline and budget on page 4 of the handout that we gave you. Thank you again, Mr. Chair and committee members, for your time. We'd be happy to entertain any questions that you might have for us.
Thank you, Director Berkey. Any questions for the presenters? Pardon me?
Just comments.
Oh, Representative Straba.
Thank you. I think it's
good. We'll take them.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think it's imperative that we teach our youth what we look at every day, the rocks and how they got there, the striations, how they went from here to there, the whole interactive, how the earth moves, why is Lake Superior where it's at. All those questions are curious, and if the youth are asking those questions and we have answers for them, we have a place to show them, it only makes a smarter person and more inquisitive, where are we going to go, what we're going to do. So, yeah, this is easy one for me. I like it. I think it's a good thing for us to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scraba. I've been lucky enough to be in your facility, and I'm not sure if it was Legacy or Capital Investment, but I remember there was a presentation, and you have one of the best meeting rooms of in the state of Minnesota, in my mind. And I think you had to shut the curtains because people like me were looking out the window a little too much or something at the ships going by. And,
but, Mr. Chair, we have new curtains to make sure that you stay focused on the next time.
That may not help.
Seeing none, Representative Olson, go ahead and if you have any final comments. And
well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think the thank you for the Representative Scrabba, I think, says it well, and I think the presenters do a good job. I just want to take this quick moment to say I know the pandemic, everything went through, but I was in constant communication, it felt like, with Mr. Walker. Like, they did such a great job, you know, taking care of staff and the animals and the facility and wanting to make sure that they could come out stronger, and you could just see the heart and dedication, and I think that's probably true of a lot of places, and the zoo is going to be next, but I just want to publicly say that on the record that they are really working so hard to make this work for our whole community, our whole state, our whole region. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Olson, and presenters, thank you very much. Hopefully we can be in your facility soon and enjoy it. It's it is so memorable that you can touch the animals and the work that you're doing there. So thank you.
Thank you.
With that, the bill is laid over. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
So as presenters from the zoo are coming forward, I'll move that House File 1657 be laid over for possible inclusion. So welcome, and Representative Olson, go ahead and when you're ready, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you for hearing House File 1657, which is an appropriation for the Lake Superior Zoo for $150,000 in fiscal year 24 and 25. And we'll be able to hear more about the project, but again, just has such a regional significance and ties our community, our state, to the animals that tell the story and really do it with a perspective. And I know they will talk about, too, the inclusion of working with our indigenous communities on this exhibit, and just a really great story to tell through what we hope will be an appropriation through the Legacy Committee. So with that, I'll turn it over to Haley, whose last name I am
Hedstrom.
Hedstrom, to Ms. Hedstrom from the zoo to tell the story.
Welcome, Ms. Hedstrom. Go ahead when you're ready. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and thank you for having us. I also want to thank Representative Olson for the support of this bill, as well as previous project support for the Lake Superior Zoo. I have to control two screens here, so please bear with me. My name is Haley Hedstrom, and I am the Chief Executive Officer at the Lake Superior Zoo. I actually started at the zoo in 2018 as the Director of Marketing and Development and began my role as CEO amidst the pandemic in August 2020, where we were charged with bringing the organization back to life, all while facing a significant cash deficit and debt to the city of Duluth. But happier times. Since 2020, we've closed that deficit, paid off our line of credit with the city, became financially sustainable, and received our third consecutive accreditation by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. I'm going to quickly pass it over to my colleague Lizzie Larson for her intro, and then we'll get started on our full presentation.
Hello. Ms. Larson, there you go. You got to thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for hearing us today. My name is Lizzie Larson, and I am the Director of Animal Management at the Lake Superior Zoo. I started there as a keeper about 14 years ago. I have a degree in animal science from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, and I've been in a director role now for about the last year, so I'm very excited to be here with you.
Okay. So I will keep this brief, knowing that we are short on time. I'm going to give a quick 100-year history of the 19th oldest zoo in the United States. As we celebrate our centennial anniversary this year, we continue to uphold the highest standard of animal well-being, exhibit design, educational programs, safety, and more. We are one of three accredited facilities in Minnesota, and the other two being located down here in the Twin Cities. We have a dedicated team of passionate educators, animal care specialists, guest services members, and more that made our record-setting attendance goal in 2021 a possibility. We have also grown our educational opportunities, including Minnesota's first nature-based preschool located at a zoo, where a quarter of our students are on scholarship to provide accessible and equitable access to full-time outdoor education. Additionally, in 2022, we established a DEAI committee that is actively working on our commitment to embracing, nurturing, and upholding a diverse and inclusive culture for all that work and visit the zoo, where we strive to enact real change by identifying and developing insightful approaches towards growth within not only our industry, but the zoological industry as a whole. We have leaned into this mission by offering an advanced DEI certificate program for our staff as well as board of directors, hosted LGBTQ plus friendly activities at our biggest event, Boo at the Zoo, and continuing to bridge that gap of accessibility to the zoo as a safe place and welcoming place for all. Furthermore, we are reinvesting back into the zoo by constructing new exhibits such as Red Panda, which will be opening this spring. I would invite all of you to come and see those little cuties later. But revitalizing experiences across the entire campus like our nature trail redevelopment and parallel play. All of these programs help us accomplish our mission of providing close-up experiences with animals that inspire connections with wildlife, not only right here in Minnesota, but around the world. So a couple of previous legacy funding projects that have helped revitalize two existing habitats. We have our gray wolves and bald eagles. These projects help us connect visitors with rescued animals like Buddy and Liberty, as well as enhance our educational experiences and conservation impacts. Our most recent legacy project is an innovative zoo-wide exhibit that will tell the history of the zoo, coupled with the evolution of animal care and well-being within the zoological industry and the difference it makes to be accredited by the AZA. The second phase of this project will share indigenous perspectives and stories as it relates to native species such as black bears, wolves, bald eagles, and more. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lizzie. Now we get to the fun part.
Ms. Larson, go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you. So the first part of our project I'd like to tell you about is a brand new snapping turtle habitat. So currently we have a 25-year-old snapping turtle named Nestor, and he may be living with us for 50 or more years from now. So what we would like to do is really make a habitat upgrade for him. We would have state-of-the-art life support and filtration systems, and we would really make an immersive exhibit where he can actually get really close to all of the people that are coming to see him. Now, many of you might be wondering, why would somebody want to get close to a snapping turtle? So he is honestly one of our most charismatic animals that we have at the zoo. He's trained, we're able to do training demonstrations with him, and what we want to do is be able to get kids involved in that. And it doesn't have to just be kids. We want to get everyone involved in that. So if you can come and train a snapping turtle, we would love to have you. Go ahead. So the next part of our request would be for a new caribou habitat and research. So historically, caribou thrived in Minnesota. They were an important part of the daily life of the indigenous Ojibwe. Within the last 5 years, the less than 10 caribou, woodland caribou left were living by the Lake Superior Basin. Many factors have contributed to caribou decline: habitat loss, climate change, overhunting, and predation. But what we want to do is take over where other research has left off and study what threats caribou would face in Minnesota today if we were to have a re-releasing program. We also think it is equally important to exhibit the species as it may be one of the last places to see caribou before they are extinct.
So with that, thank you again for supporting our past projects and the opportunity to tell you about this innovative research and potential that we could be really leading the zoological industry and conservation impact right here in Minnesota. We'll entertain any questions at this time.
Any questions from members? Representative Pinkney.
Thank you, Chair. And I just wanted to let Representative Olson know that when one of the other zoos wasn't in before another committee, the only question Representative Jordan asked was, will they have red pandas? So I would recommend letting her know. She's not here anymore, but that will be very important information to Representative Jordan.
We will find her and let her know.
Thank you. I didn't know they were exciting to hear that they're that popular. Mm-hmm. Any other questions from members? Been lucky enough to be at your facility multiple times, and I know you're really making good efforts generally with the state funds and with bonding efforts, and then I've seen some of the legacy things that you've done, I think, on the wolf habitat, the fencing, and I encouraged Representative Olson to bring down a wolf today, and she being a big chair and senior member of our caucus, decided it would probably be wise not to, but I thought, well, you could just kind of put a muzzle on it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that one. So any final comments, Representative Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know you care deeply about legacy, the funding in Duluth, and you've spent a lot of time in our community and see what this can do and see these projects being so worthwhile. And so thank you for taking the time to hear this important project today.
Thank you, Representative Olson, and thank you for the Duluth Zoo and the work that you're doing. With that, the bill is laid over. That's kind of the end of our agenda today, right? So I just have one question. I just want to, and they might not have the answer from our STAR staff, but it through Chair Olson's committee and others, you know, we've heard the forecast, and I don't know if you've had, sometimes it takes a few days to figure out what the cash is, but it looks like it's down just a slight amount, perhaps, but maybe I'm wrong. Mr. Hagemar.
Mr. Chair, the forecast that was presented yesterday, or Monday, I guess, was for the general fund forecast. We haven't seen the consolidated fund statement that would include all the other funds, including the legacy funds, to get the accurate totals for you. I think your rate sales tax was down a slight amount, but I don't know all the other numbers, if any other projects are canceled or anything like that, that would affect the bottom line for the legacy funds. But hopefully they'll be posted soon, and we'll get you updated numbers shortly.
Thank you, Mr. Hagemar. I know you're always right on top of that and your team, and I really appreciate it. I didn't warn you about the question, but Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Chair, and this would be another question for Mr. Hagemeyer. He probably would have to do a little inquiry, but he might know, so I'm just going to go ahead. We, of course, had legislation recently passed that included the inflationary number to be a part of that calculation. So while we may see, no change in the prediction of $17.5 billion, how does that impact funds like the legacy fund when, in fact, the projection is making that adjustment? So obviously we're only including revenues in this subject area that are collected, but does it affect us at all?
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Mr. Chair, I don't know the answer specifically to that. I know the law was pretty recently passed, so I don't know how MMB will implement that in the consolidated fund statement for other funds other than the general fund. With that, the legacy funds are considered supplemental. We don't have base funding going forward, so that should probably also be a factor if they're considering inflation, if we don't have base funding for out of these funds.
Representative Heitzman.
If there's more that Mr. Hagemeyer might be able to provide the committee at a later date, that'd be great, because there are questions, of course, with the statutory change.
Thank you. Representative Hurd.
Chair, Louie, thank you. I just had a quick question, because I know I came in late. I had some other things I had to do.
But I just wanted to ask, and I didn't want to ask the actual individuals who were testifying this particular question, because it's probably more procedural for us. But for these particular asks that came in today, have these entities received funding for these particular projects in the past, or is this new asks, or can I just get a little bit of background on these particular asks today?
Thank you, Representative Herr, and just for, you know, we do have some newer members, and just these are groups that have today that came are groups that have received money in past cycles. So the Canoe Mobile, the Duluth Zoo, you know, all the zoos in Minnesota, the Minnesota Zoo, Como Zoo, and the Duluth Zoo have gotten money. And then the aquarium has gotten some money through the years. So they're past recipients of legacy funds.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Hurd.
Thank you, Chair.
So thank you, everyone. And with that, we get a little early release here, I guess. And we just to give you a little bit of warning, we are we have quite a few bills that are piled up, and we did miss last week, so we might have to figure out a way to navigate. We'll try to work with Representative Backer and your team to figure out, with our members as well, to figure out the best way to go through. We have quite a few bills that are, you know, we're going to have to take a look at and figure out, you know, and we certainly want to hear, you know, give them voice. So, Representative Hussein. Oh, sorry. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Yeah.